And now we'll hear from Allie Gayhart and Megan Old.
Thanks. My name is Megan Old, and I'm presenting with Allie Gayhart on behalf of South Carolina's Health Access to the Right Time CHW program. And one of the things I wanted to state before we go through our slides is we attended APHA last year, and at that time we were still a little bit new to the CHW program and many of the other initiatives at our agency, and we are truly inspired by all of the community health workers and the programs throughout the country that we didn't even know existed. We only knew of a handful. So you gave us the motivation to work harder and work with our stakeholders and take our program to where it is today. Before we get started, I'm an employee of the state of South Carolina, and I have no actual or potential conflict of interest, and I have no financial relation to it either. And I'll say that on behalf of Valley as well. I hope that's legal. So what we want to do is just tell you a little bit about our HEART committee and what that means to our CHW program, and then also share our experience of our CHW pilot program, how we implemented it and began phase one and then moved into phase two. We'll share how we are going about our data and evaluation structure, some lessons learned because we had a lot, and also where we plan to move in the future. So Health Access to the Right Time is a program that, is a group of stakeholders, about 50 throughout the state, that started in February 2012. Our director, Anthony Keck, came to us from Louisiana. We stole him away from you all. And he came to us as a team and with our stakeholders and asked us to develop this group, HEART, which is Health Access at the Right Time, which is a group of stakeholders that are working together to create access for our Medicaid recipients, especially in the rural areas where there are provider shortages and health disparities. We have a wide range of participants. Without these key individuals and these key groups, we wouldn't be where we are today. We work with our sister agency. Department of Health and Human Services is separate from our Department of Health, so Department of Health and Environmental Control is a huge supporter of ours, and our other agencies, Department of Social Services. But we work with the University of South Carolina. Our Midlands Technical College is one who helped us develop our curriculum, which we'll go into that later. And then our key community-based organizations and our managed care plans. South Carolina is 85% of our Medicaid recipients are within a 85 to 90% are within a managed care organization now. We are moving completely away from fee-for-service. And so those relationships we have with our community-based organizations and managed care plans are key. So phase one of our community health program, we started with some basic goals that have really developed over time. But when we first started, we wanted to make sure that we increased the value of the partnership between the patient and the medical practice and create limit the barriers of communication between the two. We also wanted to decrease emergency room visits and hospital readmissions. We wanted to improve the Medicaid members' engagement in their health care management, as well as take more ownership of their care, and then also reduce costs and improve health outcomes. So in May of 2013, we actually graduated 18 CHWs, and these CHWs went through, the actual practices went through a grant application process throughout the state of South Carolina. Because our program was a pilot program, we had to put out a statewide notice to practices around the state who wanted to participate, and they actually applied, were interviewed by Allie and a team of representatives from our University of South Carolina Institute of Families and Societies and our medical directors. And they were chosen because we wanted to make sure that they were willing to employ a CHW, employ a clinical supervisor, and also help us throughout this process. We wanted to make sure that they were going to adhere to reporting requirements and also help us develop ways that we can improve the program along the way, and their data was key into that, a key factor of that. So as I mentioned, we had 18 CHWs that went through a six-week curriculum. During this time period, they were trained on basic medical terminology. They also received training on communication techniques and building interpersonal relationships, but they also received training on motivational interviewing, which was key training for those individuals. In addition to those people, those CHWs being trained, we also trained their clinical supervisors. And the clinical supervisors were trained on how to integrate the community health worker into the practice, how to identify ways that the community health worker could help their practice, whether it be looking at patient population, certain disparities or certain health conditions that they wanted their CHW to help out with. That was one of the things that we had them identify. Also, we utilized our Area Health Education Consortium coordinators to train our clinical supervisors and to set up regional meetings to continuing the ongoing education and integration of these CHWs into the practices. Coding. I keep stressing that this was a pilot program because we had a very strict agreement with CMS that this was a pilot program. So with these practices, we have developed in our system contract rates that only these specific practices could bill for these CPT-approved codes. So the CHW is not a recognized enrolled provider in our Medicaid system. However, they're able to bill these S codes through the MPI of the nurse practitioner or the physician that they're within the practice that they're working in. So the key role of the relationship and making sure the billing process is going well is that clinical supervisor. The CHW is encouraged to see their patients outside of the practice, and they can see the patient either as an individual, and they would use the S9445 code, which is reimbursed at $20, or they can see patients in a group setting and utilize the S9446 code, which is reimbursed at $6. Per individual. 30-minute unit. So as I mentioned earlier, we started off on very basic goals, but as we developed this program and spoke with our HEART stakeholders and worked with our CHWs, we realized that addressing social disparities and health disparities within the community is the key to success. So that has been more of our focus as we move forward. The more successful practices that are utilizing their community health workers the best are addressing these social determinants. And if anyone, there's a lot of spaces in the crowd that I recognize. So we've talked about our maps that we utilize quite a bit. And this map here shows the state of South Carolina and maps out where our community health workers in phase one, which are indicated by the circles, and then the square markings are our phase two of community health workers. When we first set out with our community health worker program, we specifically utilized our map of our hot spots. This map shows where we have the highest prevalence for children and adult disease, such as ADHD, obesity, depression, diabetes, hypertension, and we really wanted to put our CHW practices within those hot spots or get as close as possible. But since one of the lessons learned that we had was that you couldn't always put the practices where you want them, that you had to just take what you can get, and whoever applied, we expressed the importance of our wanting to address the hotspot areas and address these disease-specific areas, but at the same time, we wanted to work with these practices because they were willing to work with us. So as we move forward, we want to make sure that we do place our practices in these areas of hotspots. Because as you'll see on this map, these are neighboring areas that have significant problems within our state. There's provider shortages. There are limited access to OBGYN services, even primary doctors. Some of these counties don't even have any physicians within a 35-mile radius. So our community health workers are very aware of these county lines, and they're willing to cross over those county lines and to address these needs. So as we've moved into phase two, we had originally two FQHCs that were part of our phase one program, and since then we've had an expansion into five additional FQHCs, and they're helping us significantly with addressing hotspots. So I'm going to pass it over to Allie, who's going to talk to you about our data and evaluation.
So the data and the evaluation component are the critical pieces to determine whether this is a prosperous project investment and if we can continue to invest our resources to expand and move forward. The agency has a contractual relationship with the Institute of Families and Society. I use the acronym IFS. which is a department with the University of South Carolina, and they do all of our data and reporting for agency programs and initiatives. They also have access to state agency and managed care data, so they're able to provide us comprehensive reports and information about how we're making a difference with all of our programs with the agency. So for the community health worker reporting and evaluation framework, we take into consideration process, outcomes, and costs. Process metrics include the number of people screened and number of people who accept a CHW intervention, the type of encounter that CHW provides, whether it's an individual session or if it's a group session, the relationship between the care team and the CHW, so the number of referrals and the type of referrals that the community health worker is receiving. Patient satisfaction, which we measure through the annual CAHPS survey, which is Consumer Assessment of Healthcare Providers and Systems, and it's a survey to evaluate on the patient's experience with healthcare. And then the type of education, topic, discussion, and follow-through that the community health worker provides to the patient. And we get most of our process information on a monthly reporting template that the practice participants are required to provide to the agency and IFS on a monthly basis. I have 5 minutes. Healthcare outcomes. So IFS works with the practices to look at their individual HEDIS scores, how they compare to other CHW practice participants, and how they compare statewide. They also have assigned clinical risk group scores for all of the patients within that practice population. So looking at patient acuity to provide further guidance of how that community health worker can work with the patients. As Megan mentioned, we do provide those two codes for reimbursement, so we're getting encounter data. And IFS can build us a report, which we get monthly, that looks at utilization as well as reimbursement, and it's broken down by practice, provider, and managed care plan, and if that patient is a fee-for-service patient. As mentioned, the consumer satisfaction, and then cost savings, so looking at hospitalizations, hospital readmissions, and then per member per month cost. So in addition to the data that we get, we also host quarterly regional meetings with our AHEC coordinators. And this is where we get our anecdotal stories and evidence that this program is working and making a positive impact. And these meetings are really important because we can't capture this information on a reporting tool or template. So this is a brief example. A community health worker was working with a patient to lose weight as well as lower blood sugar, and through follow-through and patient empowerment to monitor the patient's health indicators, the patient lost 6 pounds and also lowered her blood sugar. This is an example of a CHW working with the patient on medication management. The CHW and patient identified outdated prescriptions, prescriptions that needed refills, and the CHW provided some tools for that patient to monitor insulin levels. So, really fast, things that we've learned and things that have been successful are that patients are more engaged with their physician and treatment plan, so taking more accountability for their health. The care team is learning a significant amount of information about the challenges and barriers that the patients experience when they're trying to access care. So as Megan mentioned, focusing on those social determinants of health. Using a team approach has been a huge benefit, so having that CHW attend daily huddle meetings, attend staff meetings, even allowing them to present on their findings and share their experience. The care team is really understanding the importance of how this role can contribute to the care team as well as the patient's experience. Interestingly, through word of mouth, patients who have a community health worker are telling their peers, and so we're actually seeing requests from patients to have a community health worker work with them. And then, again, identifying the social determinants of health, so those environmental external factors that are affecting a patient receiving care. Challenges, it took longer than anticipated for that community health worker to become acclimated to the care team as well as in the community. When the CHW started full-time, we expected that we would start getting all this data and we could really evaluate the program, but we're still this is still a challenge. We're still trying to get enough data to make a determination whether this is a good investment or not. When we started, we did not have a scope of service or definition for the role of a community health worker, so there was some ambiguity. The timeline was too short. We made the announcement in January that we were offering this opportunity, and by April 1st, the practice participants were expected to have their practice ready as well as have a CHW identified for full-time training. Right now, we reimburse on 30-minute unit increments, and a lot of the work CHWs do are between 10 and 15 minutes. So whether it's a quick phone call or just a checkup on a patient, and they cannot reimburse or get paid for those brief encounters. There's always confusion with how to bill for codes, what services are covered versus what services are not covered. So we realize that we need to train the billing staff specifically who are going to be submitting these codes. Reimbursement, we only reimburse for face-to-face encounters, so we don't pay for administrative time or phone calls or research or travel costs. And then securing financial resources to move forward. Am I out of time?
Go ahead.
I have two more slides.
Go for it.
So overall, the timeline was too short. We need to allow for more time to train the practices, the clinicians, and the CHWs who are going to be doing this program. We want to make sure everyone's prepared. We are looking at a new structure to reimburse adequately within CMS guidelines. Choosing the CHW candidate is critical. There are certain characteristics that a CHW should have, like compassion, active listening, ability to build strong relationships. And we actually had a practice who had to drop out of the program because they did not choose the right person to be the CHW. Really important is training the care team and the health system who are going to take on the role of a community health worker. They really need the support and infrastructure to do the work that they need to do in the communities. We got a lot of feedback on our curriculum, so how to make it more community-focused. And we're looking at ways where we can provide evaluation and feedback in a more timely manner to our practices. They're always curious in how they're doing, how they compare to other practices, and they are really eager to just do this role effectively, and we're looking at ways where we can provide more timely data. And then as we expand the program, using our maps to really target areas where we think the CHW will have the biggest impact. So like I said, we're looking at exploring payment structures within CMS guidelines. We're looking at partnerships within the community to have a CHW. Right now it's practice-based, and we see the value of having community-based organizations involved. We have leaders spearheading a South Carolina CHW association, so we're really excited about building a network. And that was one of the things that we learned last year at APHA was how important it is to have that network and support for community health workers. And then we're still waiting on our data to make sure that we can move forward and this is worth investing in for the future. And this is a picture of our first cohort of CHWs that we trained. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Megan and Allie.